I would, you know, say to you, for those of you who have not been to a board meeting before, or not at very, have not been at very many, that these items aren't discussed at committee of the whole on Tuesday morning at length, and sometimes for more than 1 week, that is, one two-week session, it might go on, it might go on for a month or two, so it's not like we're just rubber stamping something we don't understand. And this last thing means we've still got a month to go yet before the actual ordinance will become part of the county code, so there'll be two more readings out of the chance for a public hearing. I move a resolution accepting the final revision of the Scott County Sustainability Plan as prepared by the Tri-State Regional Commission.
Move to second it. Discussion. Is there some public comment? Is that what, okay? Here's the, when you come forward, please keep your remarks for under 3 minutes. If you would, please give your name and address, and please come forward and address the chair. Thank you. Correct.
Great. Well, thank you. My name is Robin Priestley, 809 West 3rd, Davenport, Iowa. Professionally, I help utilities and industry actually reduce their carbon footprints and their energy utility costs. So this is, sustainability is a good thing. I love it. I earn a living from it. I haven't seen the amendments that you folks are working with Tri-State. So I may be off the mark a little bit, and please correct me if I am. The in one section on page 60, you talk about there must be an ROI for investment, but I don't see any criteria accepted for a return on investment. Normally, you would see in a document like yours that the return on investment has to be 2 years or less, that there's a penalty if you fail to make that. Also, that the ROI only take into hard costs, actual hard costs that can be measured, as opposed to soft costs like, well, we expect maintenance to be reduced, that sort of thing. There should be notation, whenever you're talking about ROI, that the method of calculation for the ROI is fully disclosed. All the formulas, all the background, that sort of thing. Also notice that 22 times the term benefit was brought up, and the fact that you can't have any negative impact. The problem that I have with that comment and that structure, unless it's been addressed in the addendum, I'm not sure if it has, is that there's no definition as to what constitutes a benefit or a negative impact. There's also no constraints as to what a benefit or a negative impact could be. There's also no illumination as to who and what criteria will be used to evaluate whether something is a negative impact. I would caution you because I see large industrials and utilities get into nebulous areas where they don't have any criteria to recommend this stuff, and it really hurts you in the long run. As a taxpayer locally, it can cost you a fund. And then on page 37, where it's about growing new and existing businesses, there's a couple of comments in there. And the interesting thing is, with all of the federal and state mandates that already deal with these topics, why do we think that the county needs to have an ordinance that goes ahead and duplicates the federal and state laws as it relates to lending practices and that kind of stuff? So those are just a couple of comments. And Chairman, can you tell me if any of those were addressed in the addendums that Tri-State was providing to us?
Any of those? No, not to my knowledge. I can't.
Okay. Yeah, sure. As a taxpayer and a person who actually does this for a living, I would caution you very strongly from accepting any document that doesn't actually lay out those types of criteria. I'd be more than happy to help you out any way I can. But if you don't, you'll wind up with a real error. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I should say that any comments are made, it's really not a question and answer. We'll just listen to your comments.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Didn't know.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Todd McGreevy. I live on Crestlawn Court in Bentonville, Iowa. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. And appreciate Supervisor Menard's remarks about that this has been discussed at the committee as a whole. And you folks today have given us the courtesy to have a dialogue. It doesn't traditionally happen with these things, so I appreciate it very much. I have some prepared remarks, but I do have two people who are willing to yield the time if I exceed 3 minutes. I promise I will be succinct. It has been stated in this chamber publicly and outside this forum privately by members of this board that you believe you were elected to determine our quality of life. That is a fundamental disconnect from your oath of office, which is to protect my natural rights to determine my own quality. Liberty means to exercise human rights in any manner a person chooses, so long as it does not interfere with the exercise of the rights of others. Your oath means you protect the voice of the minority, not enforce the will of the majority. The only thing not sustainable with this plan being implemented that you're voting on today is individual and personal property rights, including one's labor and ability to conduct commerce. The plan is full of instances where behavior change is required and or fiscal policy must be influenced in order to change our behaviors. The key term here is required. And I provided you guys weeks ago examples of that. I'm going to give a couple of them real quick. Review building codes for impediments and or requirements supporting energy conservation and update accordingly. For others, the awareness and understanding, as well as the actions that may be required to embrace sustainability, may occur much slower. Yet other activities will require significant time and funding investment from public and private interests. I ask you, isn't everything that is required by us, the citizens of Scott County, already being enforced? If there is something new to be required, under whose authority, sanction and determination shall be required and approved as meeting such requirements? No one here does not want everyone to have access to clean air and water. No one here does not want anyone to have access to equal protection under the law. But these central planning schemes under the guise of community and smart planning and sustainability just do not work. Even with the best of intentions, these programs have failed throughout history. They can be packaged all different ways, but they still end up failing economically, socially, and governance-wise. Because they are driven by global governance agendas, like Agenda 21, and government coercion, they never deliver what they promise. Examples of how they don't work. A recent soil erosion report by the Environmental Work Group shows that Iowa is losing 10 tons per acre of topsoil, while the 2007 USDA study shows only 5.2 tons per acre. Meanwhile, the threshold for federal compliance for sustainable standards is 5 tons per acre. I have a copy of the article. I'll give you a copy of it. It says in the article the federal government provides 17, between from 1999 to 2007, the federal government provided $17 billion of subsidy to Big Ag in Iowa. It's like funding both sides of a war. Although provision, I attended two of the advisory committee meetings and was told at one of those planning sessions that this plan was based on federal livability standards within the U.S. Code. How has ceding authority to the federal government over the last 60 years worked out for livability? The federal government dictated an overfluoridation of the water that they have recently backed off as a mistake. Are you willing to tackle the tough issue of removing this hazardous waste entirely from our drinking water? Are you willing to walk the talk? But do we need a sustainability plan to do so? No, we do not. Central planning results in ever-increasing regulations, most of which are redundant, as we have laws already cover the environment where one's personal property and person is harmed. The central planning and its offspring of administrative regulations and soft law under the guise of environmentalism are money-making schemes where the government picks the winners and losers. This always fails in the stated mission and is not sustainable. This document we're voting on directs the county staff to impact fiscal policy of this elected county board. You are outsourcing and abdicating the responsibilities for this action. County staff has stated that this resolution you're voting on delegates the administrative authority to the staff to resolve the changes in it, while you are in charge of policy. But the plan you're approving tells us this is not true. Page 33, incorporate sustainability in fiscal policy and decision making. Action, utilize the Sustainable Solutions Committee to develop checklists as evaluation tool. Refer to sample from new community design to the rescue, fulfilling another American dream, National Governors Association. I'm almost finished. We have been told in this room at previous meetings that this plan is important because as governments have less and less funding, they will need to make important decisions. What evidence does this body have that is experiencing less and less funding? You just passed a $2.6 million increase in next year's budget, the largest in the history of the county. You are passing the increases, you had a public hearing earlier tonight for an additional $800,000 to spend that was in the limit of the current fiscal year. Will enacting the sustainability plan mean that you will put a halt to the increase in spending, taxing in the county in the next budget hearing? And finally, I need to bring up a nuance of gray area that I don't think has ever been addressed in this body, and that is that there's a potential ethics issue here in that you're going to vote on the approval of spending, which is called the administrative line item. The administrator's line is $526,000 of new revenue that you guys are going to spend on grants and so forth. And one of those expenditures is going to pay by State Regional Commission for the very sustainability plan you're voting on right now. However, I think there's a potential conflict of interest because one of these board members is the treasurer of ICE. So I would suggest that the person who's the treasurer of ICE potentially abstain from voting. I think it's a conflict of interest. Thank you very much.
About 2 minutes or maybe 1 minute if
we have several people who were seeing their time.
Okay.
It was no problem.
My name is Jesse Anderson. I live at 516 Culver Hill in Claire. I'd like to address the board and the chair this evening in opposition to item 7 of today's agenda, the resolution accepting the final revision of the Scott County Sustainability Plan as prepared by the Bi-State Regional Commission. I recently moved to LeClaire with my wife and young child from the condo of 2877 Little Court, Bendorf, to get away from the hustle and bustle of 53rd Street, potentially growing my family in the environment that my wife and I dreamed of. I'm currently working two jobs to achieve and maintain that dream, and to me it's worth it. I've read, researched, and opposed the sustainability plan for a number of reasons, but in the interest of time, I'll limit myself to a single personal testimony that I think speaks to the sum total of my assessment. Page 33 of the Scott County Sustainability Plan reveals the following. Incorporate sustainability into fiscal policy and decision making. Create a checklist to evaluate decisions supporting sustainability. Timeline for this is year one. And the action is to utilize Sustainable Solutions Committee to develop a checklist as evaluation tool. Refer to sample from new community design to the rescue, fulfilling another American dream. As a caring, thinking individual, I took the time to read the new community design for the rescue, fulfilling another American dream. And I would like to focus on the checklist itself. Allow me to address some line items from that checklist. Number four on the list, does the project avoid converting working land such as farms and ranches into development? In my case, no. My new house was built directly on top of what used to be a family farm. Number five, does the project avoid fragmenting existing green space, especially natural habitat and forest? No. My new house is built over what once was a pasture with old growth trees flanking the property. It is also built on natural habitat. Isn't everything a natural habitat to something, though? There is a family of fox that have a den on the edge of my property, deer graze in my backyard, and in the winter, many bald eagles perch on a giant tree at the bottom of my hill and look over the river. Number seven, does the project location avoid increasing the risk or negative impacts of natural disasters? In my case, no. I live on the side of the hill, I live along the Mississippi River, and I live within the New Madrid fault impact zone. Number eight, does the project use compact design to minimize the amount of land per dwelling unit? And they go on to say the best greenfields and ski projects will have densities in the range of at least 5 units to 10 units per acre, and often much higher. Infill projects will usually have at least 20 units per residential acre. This is not my case either. My house has a 50-foot setback and sits on almost a full acre. Number 11, does the project provide convenient access to public transit? No, I'm on a dead end street. Does the street layout and grid provide multiple access points to and from the surrounding areas as well as multiple paths for travel through the community by vehicles and bikes? They also go on in that segment to say cul-de-sacs, or in that example to say cul-de-sacs should not be part of the street design. Okay, again, in my case, I purposely moved to a cul-de-sac as my previous residence sat on a cul-de-sac because it is safer for my daughter to play near and I enjoy lack of traffic. The list goes on, but for time's sake, let's just say that the dream home I built less than a year ago for my family to grow in and pursue happiness and goes against the vast majority of preferences set forth by the new community design model as referred in the sustainability plan question this evening. Is there something wrong with my dream? Have my choices harmed the community in some way? The fact is that I wanted to make a wood lot with wildlife around overlooking the Mississippi at the end of a cul-de-sac. I was free to decide what my living environment should be, and I exercised that freedom with every choice I made. If others want to live stacked on top of each other in the middle of the concrete jungle when it comes to public transportation, so be it. I have no desire to stand in their way, but I also don't think it would be equitable for anyone else to stand in my way. In looking at some public documents, I found out that one of my county supervisors sitting before me today also has made decisions that stand in opposition to the preferences in this plan. I will not name names, but one of you lives in a 5,000 square foot, single-story house on 3.45 acres. I didn't do the math, but with a recommendation of 5 to 10 dwellings per acre, as listed above, I think it is fair to say that this wouldn't be favorable if the board decides to vote favorably. Conclusion on my executive summary on the NCB document states, the conclusion of the executive summary of the NCB document states that more flexible zoning, fair act impact fees, and smarter rehabilitation building codes can make markets operate more effectively and equitably and give Americans the choices they want. I think this plan will obviously and effectively limit the choices of many Scott County residents, and I hope you vote against it. Thanks for your time.
And we will not make comments about Asian food vendors. Let's stay away from that, please.
I'm Diane Holst, 20012 240th Street, from Eldridge, and I do have two folks.
Ideal 5 minutes.
And Mr. Blunk next to me, really, as well. I've got a little bit of time, because I'm a slower talker. The sustainability plan is a public relation tool used to sell sustainable development to the community. People are told that the plan was developed from the ground up through citizen participation. The fact is, according to the report, fewer than 25 people participated in this exercise in a population of 166,000 people. That's 0.015% participation in these major decisions that are going to affect us all. It's unlikely that the board, or even those that participated in the development of the sustainability plan, were aware of what they were led to consider was initiated by the United Nations. Using your own sources that were cited, not your sources, by state sources that were cited in the study, I'd like to tell you about who you have invited into our community by pursuing and accepting this grant. Triple bottom line, the cornerstone of your plan. If we go, this is from John Ellington, co-founder of the business Consultancy Sustainability, in the 1998 book Cannibals with Forks. This is from page 93. Now, when I go to their site, it's actually, the business is called Sustainability. Sustainability was founded by activists John Ellington and Julia Hales in 87, the same year that the Brundtland Commission published Our Common Future and its foundation definition of sustainability development. Early work by sustainability on green consumerism soon expanded to emerging issues with genetic modification and human rights, evolving the concept of the triple dot bottom line coined by John Ellington in 1994, Cannibals with Forks. Helping companies engage external stakeholders in collaborating with the United Nations Environment Program on our pioneering global reports and engaging stakeholder programs. Stakeholder programs here, this is a very important item that they're mentioning here, because it goes on to show your connection with joining and agreeing with Agenda 21. When this grant is accepted,
you're here to make comments about our sustainability plan. We don't need a lesson as you're going off on the ideology and philosophies and so on and so forth. This would be prolonged. I'd like to have you speak, make comments specifically about the document of which we will be dealing.
Okay. I don't know how better I can relate this other than I'm pointing out the sources in the sustainability plan,
I read the 21. I read everything that Todd has given to us. I disagree very vehemently with some of them.
Well, okay. Then my point is, when we report back to the federal government that we have completed the sustainability plan, that information then goes off to the United Nations by the stakeholders' interests, the Commission of Sustainability Development. Believe me, a check mark that will be next to Scott County on this. I can tell you some of the thoughts. Well, we won't say that, if you don't want me to say that. Page 5, your gentleman, Paul Hankin, you've written it as, it's actually Paul Hawken, which you might want to correct, His comments in Wise Earth talk that in the growing and spreading worldwide, there will be no exception. In this growing and spreading world, and spreading worldwide with no exception, it has its roots from primary the origin of indigenous culture, the environment, and social justice movements. Social justice is based on the concepts of human rights, and the equity involves a greater degree of economic egalitarianism through progressive taxation, income redistribution, and even property redistribution. These folks at the United Nations, there's 53 nation states that are in this, where this report will go. These are nations that have no women's rights. Rape and sexual assault are rampant. Dominican Republic of the Congo, Ethiopia, Gabon, Gambia. These are not nations that we want to take our cues from. And that is what the sustainability plan does. And I urge you to vote no.
Thank you. This is not a PEP meeting, and please do not make any remarks such as applauding or booing or anything of the sort. Peer comments. If we continue on like that, then we'll dismiss that, and that'll be the end of that. Yes, sir.
Larry L. Bell, 5403 Ricker Hill Road. I come in peace, with honor, and standing. Negro civil. I believe your answer should be no. Harriet Stroman said the buck stops here. I think the buck stops here. Van Dunstrom says, not only no, but hell no. You got one strike already with your budget, being over for next year. Strike two on the jail, or this, not jail, but the new security system, 911. Number three, if you pass this, someone's not going to get voted in, guaranteed. Those are three Supreme Court justices up in Des Moines found out. No threats, but that's where the ball will get, the basket hit the ball. So that's your choice. But a lot of people here say, not only no, but hell no, because the buck stops here. But thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mike Elliott. I live at 1209 Jones Street in LeClaire, Iowa. I haven't spoken before you before, and I'm not sure if I will again. However, I'll try to keep my comments as short as possible since I guess to 3 minutes. So you can talk pretty fast, so bear with me. I do have two concerns about the Sustainable Development Plan in Scott County. First, does it value the individual's natural rights, and second, is it even legal under our state constitution? An individual's natural rights are defined by our Declaration of Independence, and furthermore, our legal system's first and highest law of the land, stated in our Iowa State Constitution under Article 1, Section 1, it states as follows, that all men and women are by nature free and equal and have certain inalienable rights, among which are those of enjoyment, defending life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing and obtaining safety and happiness. These are commonly referred to as negative rights because the government is prohibited from interfering with an individual's management of his or her life, liberty, and property. So how does this match up with the Sustainable Development Plan you see last year into our county? The Sustainable Development Plan seems to promote a communitarian philosophy which is foreign and opposite to our American philosophy and our state laws. Central to the communitarian philosophy is the concept of positive rights, which are the rights or guarantees to certain things provided through government action, and the opposite of natural or negative rights as expressed previously in our American Declaration of Constitutional Law. Positive rights may include state-subsidized education, state-subsidized housing, a safe and clean environment, universal health care, and even the right to a job with concurrent obligation of the government or other individuals to provide one. To this end, communitarians generally support social security programs, public works programs, and laws limiting such things as pollution. Both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of supporting this type of philosophy in violation of our state constitution because it seeks to balance individual rights with the rights of the community. This is being pitched to Americans as the new enlightened form of political discourse and is heavily promoted by the progressive movement today. You are selfish if you insist on your individual rights and freedoms because other people's rights to clean air, clean water, housing, food, health care, and education are being denied. Here are the justifications for the current sustainable development plan. It's for the good of the planet, it's for everyone's security, it's for your health, it's to protect your children, it's to live in workplace violence, it's to stop bullying. All of these things are commendable, but somehow they always result in more restrictive laws that affect and criminalize everyone. In many communities across America today, the civil code has become a criminal code instead. What does that mean? If you don't mow your lawn, it's a misdemeanor. What are the potential negative consequences of the sustainable development plan years down the road that won't be discussed by promoters right now? Will your child have a criminal record if you call another kid queer? Will you be held responsible if your employee shoots someone and you knew he was upset over a breakup with his wife? Will your 15-year-old daughter be strip searched at an airport? Will you lose custody of your 10-year-old because he's obese? Will you be evicted from your apartment because you smoked on your balcony in violation of the local ordinance? Will you be taxed for driving 15 miles to work instead of riding your bike? Will you be fined for watering your vegetable garden? Will your smart meter be used to tell advertisers what to sell you? Will your smart vehicle with remote shut-off capability be shut down by someone in your state capital while you're driving?
Wrap it up.
Sure, I'll talk about that. Will your neighbor report you to the community policing unit of your local police department because you seem to be acting strangely? Will you be denied the rights to use the water of your own well? Will you be required to pay triple your original electricity rates because your town or county has decided to go into the power business? Will you be required to donate a portion of your land for county open space before you put a house on it? Will you pay years on a property tax without receiving any services because redevelopment debt has crippled your city or county? Will you be required to do your mandatory volunteering before you get your child in the Little League? And finally, will you be accused of not caring about the plan if you question the sustainability development plan? So by providing positive rights, communitarians violate the negative rights of the citizens. That's the rights to not have something done for you, the right to not pay for or participate in a government program. An example of violating property rights of an individual is being subject to direct taxation in order to pay for such programs as described previously, which dispossesses individuals of their property. This is not only in opposition of our original American philosophy and declaration, but it is illegal under our Constitution, regardless of how long similar violations of the individual's rights have persisted in our society. Because positive rights require the individual to sacrifice their personal freedoms for the greater good of the community, positive rights and negative rights cannot coexist. It is either one or the other, and usually the majority overpower the minority and their individual rights. We have to ask ourselves, is this what we want the future of our society to be? A downtrodden minority of individuals told that their sacrifices for their own safety and for the good of the community? Or do we want to restore our constitutional republic, which we are, which protects the rights of each individual and their equal protection under law for their city, from those who would seek to impose their own worldview of proper living and lifestyles upon others? Under the direction of the Sustainable Development Plan, we will be inadvertently creating a new form of tyranny in America, right here on the world level. Is that really what we want? Because I don't. And as a public servant who has a legally binding contract with the public through your oath of office, you have a legal obligation to protect and defend our state and federal constitutions from usurpation by some feel-good plan that would eventually erode our constitutional protected natural God-given rights. Will you take your oath seriously and no longer entertain the sustainable development plan?
Thank you, Mayor.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Roger Ball, Senate Court.
I wanted to comment too on the sustainability plan. I have an
address, Roger.
I'm sorry.
Your address.
Oh, I'm sorry. What is my address? 5123 Woodland Avenue in Davenport. I know everyone on the board here, and I know you're all people of integrity and want to do the best for the county, the community, the environment, all of those things. You've had more time to certainly study and review the provisions of the plan you're considering. I haven't, but I think some of the folks that have raised concerns bring up some matters that may well deserve more attention. Things I'm concerned about is what is set in motion here when you are gone. What you buy into. Is there such vagueness in the language, and would it be a playground for future de facto bureaucratic interpretations unintended by you? Does it create standards where the explanations that the future bureaucrats, I don't mean that pejoratively, but staff, administrative staff, doing things consistent with the plan set in motion some time ago. It seems to build, and these things do. The powers and the presumptions build on one another. You know, what's very important is what isn't allowed under the rubric, and to come to grips with that, so that that's plainly part of the language of it. Are there sufficient property rights established? And, you know, if these questions aren't solid in your mind to the protection of the community's constitutional rights, property rights, that sort of thing, then I'd ask you to consider tabling it for more study and revision. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
David Hartsedge from Bentonville. I wanted to comment.
David, address, please.
Pardon?
Your address, please.
Oh, 2127 Nicholas Court, Bentonville. I want to thank you for taking the time to hear what the public has to say about this. My concern about, first of all, the issue of sustainability is that when I look at that plan and I read what's in it, I mean, first of all, we haven't really read the plan. What we read was a summary of the plan. It is a document that is out there that describes what is thought to be sustainability. But sustainability is a word. It is a political a piece of rhetoric. It's not necessarily a policy. Sustainability is not a policy. It is a word. It is a word that conjures up different thoughts in different people's minds. It could be interpreted to take us entirely in different directions. I do want the supervisor's attempts to make our government more environmentally sound. It's something that when I was in the Senate, I undertook myself. However, there are some things in there that are very alarming. One thing that mentioned in there was, for instance, changing zoning requirements to prevent high-yield farmland from being developed. And I don't know if you realize it, but for the most part we are all high-yield farmland in Scott County. And these could really put extensive restrictions on private property usage and development of our area. Sustainability could be used for all kinds of things. For instance, some people might say, you know, we don't need a West End Diversion Project because that growth is unsustainable anyway. And we could say, you know what, we really don't want economic growth because economic growth would be unsustainable. I think that before any action is taken, it's important to really look at what are the public policies that are going to be put into place, not merely the rhetoric. You can put the rhetoric into place without suitable policies defined, and who knows what that result is going to be. And I would say that it would probably be not a desirable effect in the future if you put the rhetoric into place. Because then what happens is down the road somebody says, oh, geez, your sustainability plan says one thing, so therefore we should promote these policies because it's about that sustainability. So I would hope that you would take that into consideration.
Thank you. Any other comments?
My voice. My name is Joe Van Morrison. I live at 4825 Brookview Court, Bent North, Iowa. And today, later in the afternoon, I heard on the radio something like United Nations 21. Is that right, agenda? Is that what we're talking about?
Talking about sustainability. Todd talks about United Nations 21.
Okay. I have to apologize for my ignorance, but if this is Agenda 21 has anything as far as taking our liberties away from us and our freedoms, How can you do that? How can anyone even consider such a thing like that? I wish I could ask you questions, because that needs to be answered right now, but I know you can't do it in this format. But what's happening to America? What is happening to America? You know, we're going to have this at the state and federal level, and now we're having it at the local level, where you're going to have powers that supersede anything at the federal, state government has. And is that what that Union 21 is, Union, UN 21 agenda? And I have to admit, I'm ignorant here, what's going on. But if you consider...
Please direct your comments to the sustainability. And
now, sustainability, is that the same as UN 21 agenda?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, sure. Excuse me. It's not me. Make your comments.
Okay, this is something you're going to vote on, right?
Correct.
Now, I apologize. I'm ignorant. I don't really know what's going on. I was really offended when I heard this on the radio tonight. I had no idea that this was even going to be discussed, or that you're going to have a vote on such a thing. But remember this, people. This is America. This isn't a foreign country. Keep that in mind when you make your vote. And don't forget it. This is the United States of America, where liberty and freedom overrules all this other stuff. You have so many powers that the poor guy in this community, you don't even have a clue what you're doing. You don't have a clue. And for you to sit here with the power that you're going to yield if you pass this UN 21 thing or whatever, shame on you. Remember, this is America. This is the United States of America.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Karen Bauer, if there are no other comments.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I think we need to clarify the assertion that I would have a conflict of interest. Can Mary help us with that?
Sure. First of all, I'll state that you stated it correctly. The issue is whether you have a conflict of interest. And I would say initially that the vote in front of you right now is the sustainability plan. And I think Mr. McGreevy was actually making reference to the budget amendment, which is coming up later. But what I would say in relation to that is that the state law specifically indicates that a conflict of interest exists if you have a direct benefit from it. And as a member of the bi-state board and the ceremonial position of the treasurer, you do not have a direct benefit from any contract with bi-state. I also would note that the bi-state contract was entered into before you were actually even on the Board of Supervisors, so I think that would also lend to the fact that there is not a conflict of interest.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that we be roll call on this.
Okay.
Would it be out of line, after listening to the comments from the first speaker there, I'd like to see this thing tabled and further examined. There's some things that he said. Thank you.
Would you, that's the second time, right, that I've asked you not to do that?
Sure.
If you do it again, I'm going to ask the officers to.
Sounds good.
Walk back. Thank you. Seconded. All in favor?
No.
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 All right. Have a vote.
Supervisor Hancock has asked for a vote. Turner.
No.
Hancock?
Yes.
Cusack?
No.
Minor?
Yes.
Sunderwood?
Yes. Passes on a 3-4.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That concludes facilities and economic
and human resources.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a motion approving the personnel actions as presented by the county administrator. So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes.
That concludes human resources, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Nothing in health and community services, finance, and any governmental. Supervisor Cusack.
Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion to open a public hearing relative to a budget amendment to the FY county budget.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we are in open public hearing. Are there any comments from the public?
Given that such 2027 Nicholas Court, Glendorf, I guess my question would be, having just passed a resolution concerning the sustainability plan, do we know what the fiscal impact will be for the coming fiscal year on the budget?
Yes.
If so, what?
Dean or Sarah?
The budget amendment that is in front of the board is the year end. It recognizes about $550,000 of revenues and $878,000 of expenses. Its maximum fund balance impact would be $39,000 for a fund balance. Also shared with the board at our third quarter, which is at 75% expense, the budget should be. We're at 67% of our annual budget in fiscal year 11, and we're at 84% of our revenue generally. So we should be going into fiscal year 12 with an actual increase in our fund balance, most likely. We can't say that because we close the books on June 30th, and we have to do a lot, but there are very positive signs that we'll actually underspend our fiscal year 11 budget, and it will have absolutely no impact on our fiscal year 12 budget. Also, our fiscal year 12 budget was passed by the board with absolutely no use of fund balance. And so, and we're at our regulatory minimum of 15%. So maybe that's good for you. We're in pretty good financial shape.
Okay, any other comments?
Hi, I'm Reedy, Crestline Court, Bettendorf. Just a technical question about the finances. While I understand that this presentation showed that you have a little over half a million new revenues coming in, you have $878,000 of new expenses going out that were not previously budgeted. Is that an accurate assessment, number one?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure I understand how you guys operate. So then there's $878,000 of additional expenses this county is incurring, even though they have half a million revenue coming into grants and so forth. As you add that, what does that mean in terms of total expenses forecasted for this fiscal cycle? At the end of this fiscal cycle, how much will the county be expending? Total.
In total?
Yeah, approximately. Is it like 71 million? Is
it's
it?
It's $870,000 additional than the budget
that was approved previously.
It was approved previously.
And what was that total number from previous approvals? Ballpark. 72 million, right? Okay. So we're going to be at close to $73 million in total expenses for the county. And while I understand that it's been stated that we're in good fiscal condition, I want to, again, point out that this government is spending more than it's ever spent. No matter where the money comes from, even though it comes from federal grants, this body, this organization is spending more than it's ever spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments?
Just Robin Priestley, 809 West 3rd Street. So forgive me. So this will cost this year $328,000, the sustainability, right? We're taking in 550, but we're spending 878.
No, I don't think this has anything to do with sustainability.
Okay, all right. Then just as a financial note on sustainability, although I've saved companies millions of dollars and have reduced carbon footprint in this state by, I don't know, about 400,000 tons, the folks that actually do those programs never spend a dime. Whatever cost, they got everything back well within 2 years, sometimes within a couple of months. So as a financial thing to your budget, if this is done right and if you put the right kind of teeth around it, we as the county should only ever see revenue. It should never cost a dime if it's done right. My fear is you guys may not be headed down the right path, but that's something that you guys will decide long term.
Thank
just
you.
this as a financial note, it should be, it should be, it should only be, it should never pass, and nothing should be put at risk.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we close this public hearing.
Second.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved. We are back in open session.
Move for the resolution approving a budget amendment to the FY county budget.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Earnhardt?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Cusack?
Aye.
Minor?
Aye.
Sunderbrook?
Aye.
Move for the motion to approve filing of third quarter reports from various...
Excuse me, I should have mentioned unanimously approved.
I move for the motion to approve filing of third quarter reports from various county offices for FY 11.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved.
Move for the resolution approving the appointment of Meg Flinker, benefited fire district number 2.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Move for the resolution approving the appointment of Ann Scherer to benefited fire district number 3.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved.
I move for the resolution approving the appointment of Mary Friedrichs to benefit its fire district number 6.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved.
I move for the resolution approving the appointment of Mike Duffy to the compensation board.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved.
Move for the resolution approving the appointment of Tim Huey to the Quad Cities Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Second.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved.
I move for the resolution approving the appointments of Maria Kobolensky and John Sunderbrook to the Veteran Affairs Commission.
Second.
I need to abstain here. I'll accuse myself from this vote. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. One abstention. Four, nothing.
Move for the motion approving beer/liquor, casual sales, and cigarette licenses and permits. Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously approved.
I move for the resolution approving claims.
Second. Been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Earnhardt?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Minor?
Aye.
Sunderbrook?
Aye.
Cusack?
Aye.
Unanimously approved.
That concludes the finance, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other items of interest? There are none. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
Been moved and seconded. We are adjourned.